Greet you all this morning in the worthy name of our crucified and risen Lord and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. In Sunday school, there's a comment there about if we're going to be successful, we need to get a hold of the power of God. And I believe today, accepting we have that power of God, we really don't have anything. This morning, I'd like to speak about the title of the message is Peace in the Pain and Thorns. And I don't know if I covet your prayers this morning as I try and find my way through this. Hopefully I can emotionally stand up to the challenge of peace in the pain and thorns. But I believe this message fits not only for me, but I trust we can all find within our lives places where thorns tend to get the best of us. But I believe if we can go to the scripture, and we'll go to the scripture, and I believe in the scripture we can find that we need to learn through Christ that this pain and these thorns are for us to use to grow thereby. They're for us. But they're not for us to bear alone, but we need to look. And I think the Sunday school lesson brought that out real well. That Jonathan and his armor bearer couldn't do the victory on their own. It needed to be through Christ. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding and pleading on your and my behalf. So we have an adversary there that's available for us to bear this pain, to bear this thorns that it takes to bring us to Christ. That's the goal. I'm going to look at 1 Corinthians. You can open your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 15. And I struggled to know how much of this to read, and finally decided I was going to read most of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'll start at verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and our faith is in vain, is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified that God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead be not raised, the dead rise not. This is kind of difficult to read, but if you can bear through to feel the difference here between what needs to happen, the death that needs to happen to man or our spirit to be raised again. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, as is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they which also are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized unto the dead, and why stand we in jeopardy all every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. This is written by Paul to the Corinthians. And if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some men will say, how are the dead raised? And which, what body do they come? Says thou fool, that which thou soweth is not quickened except it die. And that which thou soweth not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it pleases him. And to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, bodies of terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. One star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. It is sown in natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first, which is spiritual, that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth earthly, and the second man of the Lord from heaven. As it is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Verse 49, I'm going to read that again. And as we have bore the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is in vain, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, long passage, and there's there's a lot in there for us to look at. I'd like to start by turning to Matthew chapter 27. I have a story that I'd like to read, and Austin and Kent have agreed to pass out the papers. I want to share that story. You can turn in your Bibles to, there's enough there for at least all the adults. Just pass it to all the adults. You turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27, verse 27. Last week at the shop, on Friday, I visited with a lady that I've talked to quite a few times before, and she said that paper that you gave me a half a year ago. She said that was so precious, and it just found a lot of comfort in that. And because of that, I thought I would share it with you all today. It got me to thinking about the subject I want to talk about this morning. And that is the subject of the thorns. And how the thorns, the pain from the thorns in our lives. And I believe that all are. I'm going to read this story. I believe that in all our life's experience that we all, and as I look out across here and I see y'all, and I can think in my life where probably y'all along with me have thorns that you have either recently endured the pain thereof, or you're in the process of enduring the pain of this thorn that's in your life. Read this story at this time. The blessing of thorns. Sandra felt as low as the heels of her shoe as she pushed against the murmured gust of the floral shop door. Her life had been easy like a spring breeze. Then in the fourth month of her second pregnancy, a minor automobile accident stole her ease. During this Thanksgiving week, she would have delivered a son. She grieved over her loss. As if it weren't enough, her husband's company threatened to transfer. Then her sister, whose annual holiday visit she coveted, called saying that she could not come. What's worse, Sandra's friend infuriated her by suggesting that her grief was a God-given path to maturity that would allow her to empathize with others who suffered. She has no idea what I'm feeling, thought Sandra with a shudder. Thanksgiving, thankful for what? She wondered aloud for a careless driver whose truck was hardly scratched when he rear-ended her, for an airbag that saved her life and took that life of her child. Good morning, came and help. Can I help you? The shop clerk approached, startled her. I need an arrangement, stammered Sandra, for Thanksgiving, was the question. Do you want beautiful but ordinary, or would you like to challenge the day with a customer favorite I call the Thanksgiving special? asked the shop clerk. I'm convinced that flowers tell stories, she continued. Are you looking for something that conveys gratitude or Thanksgiving? This is on Thanksgiving Day. Not exactly, Sandra blurted out. In the last 5 months, everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. Anybody here that ever felt that? In the last 5 months, everything's gone wrong that could go wrong. Sandra regretted her outburst and was surprised when the clerk said, I have the perfect arrangement for you. And then Dora's small bell rang, and the shop clerk said, hi, Barbara, let me get your order. She politely excused herself and walked toward the small workroom, then quickly reappeared carrying an arrangement of greenery, bows, and long-stemmed thorny roses, except the ends of the rose stems were neatly snipped. There were no flowers. What? Want this in a box? Asked the clerk. Sandra watched for the customer's response. Was this a joke? Who would want rose stems with no roses? She waited for the laughter, but neither woman laughed. Yes, please, Barbara replied with an apprehensive smile. You'd think after 3 years of getting the special, I wouldn't be so moved by the significance, but I can feel it right over, all over again, she said as she gently tapped her chest. Oh, stammered Sandra, that lady just left with, she left with no flowers. She says, right, I cut off the roses. That's the special, I call it the Thanksgiving thorn bouquet. Oh, come on, you can't tell me that someone is willing to pay for that, exclaimed Sandra. Barbara came into the shop 3 years ago feeling very much like you feel today, exclaimed the clerk. She thought she had very little to be thankful for. She had lost her father to cancer. The family business had failed. Her son was into drugs. She was facing major surgery. The last years, I'd lost my husband, and for the first time in my life, I spent the holidays alone. I had no children, no husband, no family. Too great a debt to allow me to travel. So, what did you do? Asked Sandra. I learned to be thankful for the thorns. And this is what I'd like to convey this morning. I learned to be thankful for the thorns. I will always thank God for the good things in life. I never thought to ask Him why those good happened to me. But when the bad stuff hit, did I ever ask? It took time for me to learn that hard times are important. I always enjoyed the flowers of life, but it took it took thorns to show me the beauty of God's comfort. You know, the Bible says that God comforts us when we are afflicted, and from His consolation we learn to comfort others. Sandra sucked in her breath as she thought about the very thing her friend had tried to tell her. I guess the truth is I don't want comfort. I've lost a baby and I'm angry with God. What about us? Do we ever get to this point? No, I'm sure we wouldn't admit this, but where do we come in life? Then someone else walked in the shop. Hey, Jim, shouted the clerk to the bald, rounded man. My wife sent me to get the usual Thanksgiving arrangement. 12 thorny, long stems, laughed Jim as the clerk handed him a tissue-wrapped arrangement from the refrigerator. Those are for your wife. Those are for your wife, asked Sandra doubtingly. Do you mind me asking why she won something that looks like that? No, I'm glad you asked, Jim replied. 4 years ago, my wife and I nearly divorced. After 40 years, we were in a real mess. But the Lord's grace and guidance, we slugged through the problem after problem and rescued our marriage. Jenny, here the clerk told me she kept a vase of rose stems to remind her of her to remind her what she learned from thorny times, and that was good enough for me. I took home some of those stems. My wife and I decided to label each one of for a special problem. Give thanks to Him for what that problem taught us. As Jim paid the clerk, he said to Sandra, "I highly recommend the special. I don't know if I can be thankful for thorns in my life." Sandra said to the clerk, "It's all too fresh." Well, the clerk replied carefully, "My experience has shown me that the thorns make roses more precious." We treasure God's providential care more during trouble than at any time. Remember, it was a crown of thorns that Jesus wore so we might know His love. Don't resent the thorns. Tears rolled down Sandra's cheek for the first time since the accident. She loosed her grip on resentment. "I'll take those 12 long-stemmed thorns." "I hoped you would," said the clerk gently. "I'll have them ready for you in a minute." "Thank you. What do I owe you? Asked Sandra. "Nothing," said the clerk. "Nothing but a promise to allow God to heal your heart. The first year's arrangement is always on me." The clerk smiled and handed a card to Sandra. "I'll attach this card to your arrangement, but maybe you'd like to read it first." The card read, "Dear God, I have never thanked you for my thorns. I have thanked you for 1,000 times for my roses, but never once for my thorns. Teach me the glory of the cross I bear. Teach me the value of my thorns. Show me that I have climbed closer to you along the path of pain. Show me that through my tears, the colors of your rainbow look much more brilliant." I trust some of you can relate to that. Now I'd like to look at Jesus. If you look at Matthew chapter 27. Look at Jesus and what He did for us about the thorns in His life. I don't believe that these were the only thorns in Jesus' life, but it's a touching story as well, if I can trust your confidence in your prayers as we go look at this. Matthew 27, I'd like to start at verse 26. "Then released He Barabbas unto them, and when He had scourged Jesus, He delivered Him to be crucified." And we all know this story here. Pilate had scourged or beat Jesus with thongs, with sharp objects. It says He was beaten. Beyond that, man has ever been beaten. And He delivered Him to be crucified, but He delivered Him to the soldiers. In verse 27, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto Him the whole band of the soldiers. Here's one wheat beaten man. Pilate had just turned him over to be crucified. And they bring on in the whole army, the whole band of soldiers, to further interrogate, further harass, further demoralize, further to mock Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus here, of course, in flesh, feeling, he has feelings just like you and I. In verse 28, they stripped him of his garments, put a purple robe on him to mock him, to humiliate him. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, thou son of the Jews, thou king of the Jews." In Genesis, I don't know, I think we all here in the desert, we know how much the goat heads hurt. Ask any of the children how much the goat heads hurt. How about the mesquite? Now it tells us here that they plaited a crown of thorns and they put it on Jesus' head. It tells us in Genesis chapter 3, verse 18, that Adam and Eve were put out of the garden because of sin. And God says there, and God cursed the ground for their sake, and thorns and thistles shall it bring forth. And I believe there in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Paradise, we might say, there were no thorns. But when God put them out of the garden, barred them from the garden, God said he's going to bring forth thorns and thistles to plague their lives, that they might think about, and that those thorns and thistles could be a reminder to them that they were put out of the garden for a reason. The pain that the thorns and thistles bring to them reminds them that they are out because they transgressed the law of God. Now, here at Pilate's judgment hall, they made a crown of thorns. These thorns that represented man's fall, that represented the fall of man, the sin, after they were put out of the garden. And he uses this very thing, and they plaited it and put it on his head. And it says here, and they spit upon him, verse 30. And they spit upon him, they took the reed and smote it, and smote him on the head. Reed being a rod or a stick. Extruding pain of mesquite thorns wrapped and poking into your head and somebody beating on it. But these thorns represented you and I's sin. And Jesus bore that. The message this morning is about peace. Peace that in this pain. What do you think about Jesus? While he was enduring this pain, I believe that within his heart, he could have peace, realizing that he was paying. This process was payment for you and I's sin. You and I's transgressions were upon his head. Our thorns And in Luke, in verse 31, it says, after they mocked him, they put a robe upon his head and they put him his own raiment back and they led him away to crucify him. And Luke says there that Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. But so great was our sin. But I believe within this that Jesus had a peace within this pain. Jesus was crucified, rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And if this story stopped here, of Jesus being crucified, it would be a sad happening. But Jesus rose, and these marks. Let's look at John. Let's look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20, let's start at verse 26. And after 8 days, this is after the resurrection. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. And then came Jesus. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy fingers, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. One of the things I'd like to pull out of this in verse 27, Jesus says to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side and be not faithless, but believing. And it seems to me here that Jesus didn't say anything about the thorn marks. The thorn marks of you and I's thorns, our sins that were on his head, that were beat on by the rod. But I believe that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, for the peace, for what he had done, he had paid the price for you and I's thorn sins. He says here to Thomas, see my marks in my hands, in my side. But Jesus has already forgotten the thorns. He had already moved on to the joy that was happening in the resurrection. He left those thorns, those marks, the thorn marks. I mean, he left those thorn marks in the grave. I don't know. It says here the fingers, his hands, and his feet had marks where the sword pierced his side. But it doesn't say anything about our sin marks that were there by the thorns on his head. He left them. I believe he left them in the grave. And he rose victorious in joy. Then he goes on and says here in verse 29, and says, and Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou believest. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And I believe if we can get into following Jesus, to live in his example, in his life, if we gather the Christian life unto ourselves, and we vow to follow Jesus, the thorns that come into our lives, and there will be thorns in our lives, thorns, the pain. But these pain and these thorns that come into our lives will remind us again and again that Jesus is who we're following. And Jesus can bear these thorns and these pains that we have. We don't need to bear them alone. They're not made for us to bear. The thorns are put here, the pains in our lives are put here, not for us to bear, but they're put here to remind us that Christ will bear them for us. He will take them with him to the grave and leave them there. We can have life through him. He will bear our pain. Verse 31. But these, he says, these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing in him, that believing ye might have life through his name. These thorns are to help us, to bring us to remembrance of Christ and what he's done for us. Let's turn back to a couple thoughts here. I'd like to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I read this whole portion, but I think what we've talked about so far explain pretty much the Christian life that Paul is talking about here to the Corinthians. But I'd like to look at verse 35, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. He says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest and soweth not that body that shall be but bare grain, it may by chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth the body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. And we as farmers understand this, that we can go out. Paul's trying to have the Corinthians understand here this process of dying and something new coming out. That's what the thorns in our lives are to remind us of, that we need to die. We need to die to self so that something else can come up. A farmer goes out and we plant wheat, or wheat's a good example, because we put wheat in the ground and the moisture's right and the temperature's right, In 3 days, in the time of the death and the resurrection of Christ, in 3 days, we can dig up that seed and we can see that that thing is soft and it's dying and that a new sprout's coming out. So quickly. And that's where we need to be, beloved. We need to have ourselves buried so that we can come up a new creature, a new plant. Those thorns in our lives don't need to get us down, but they can remind us that we need to crucify ourselves, we need to be buried, and we need to become a new life. Our old actions, our old carnal nature, it has to die, and we come up a spiritual being. In verse 42 and 43, it says, so also is the resurrection of the dead, is it is sown incorruptible. Verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness and raised in power. In the resurrection of Christ, there's victory. There's victory over corruption. There's victory over sin. There's victory over death. And beloved, there's victory. There's victory in the resurrection over our thorns. Because Christ is willing to bear them for us. 1 Corinthians 15:55. I'm going to read from 55 to the end. In my Bible, it says, the victor's shout says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is the victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I believe in Christ we can have joy. We can have peace. And I'm this message is for me. In just recently I struggle with the need of this message. Through Jesus Christ, we can have joy and peace, even while the thorns of sin are on our head. While that crown of thorns is on our head, we can look beyond that crown of thorns and understand that these thorns in our life, this pain in our life, it's for the perfecting of our souls. We can turn it over to God because we are not able. Jesus said, I will make a way for you to bear it. I want you to take up a challenge. I want to challenge you with something to do this next week or whenever you get a chance. Take a piece of paper and make two columns. On the left column, write thorns, past and present. Thorns or pain, whatever you want to write. Past and present. Future, we don't know, but past and present. And on the other column, write who will or who can bear them. Thorns past and present, and on the right column, who can or will bear these thorns, this pain. We're sinners, saved by grace, saved through the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be aware of the thorns in our lives. And give them to Jesus. Read the last bottom of that letter. If you have that paper that we read, it says, this is the card that she put on those on that bouquet. It says, it read, "Dear God, I have never thanked you for the thorns. I have thanked you 1,000 times for my roses, but never once for my thorns. Teach me the glory of the cross I bear. Teach me the value of my thorns. Show me that I have climbed closer to you along the path of pain. Show me that through my tears, the colors of your rainbow look more brilliant." So, wish you all God's blessing as you go forth another week for the rest of your life as you